You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It is time for our weekly check-in with Michigan Radio's sports commentator, John U. Bacon. And John, we're kind of rounding third base and heading towards home for the 2016 Rio Olympics with the closing ceremony this coming Sunday. One of the biggest stories has to be Michael Phelps winding up his swimming career on his terms.
I got to tell you, do not take this for granted. You may not see this again the rest of your life, even if you're 12. This guy, by the way, has got 23 gold medals. In Beijing in 2008, he ranked 10th among all countries. and overall, 28 medals, 23 golds. He is still tied with South Africa and Brazil. They've been in every Olympics, so just about. And he's ahead of Ethiopia, who is known, of course, for great distance runners. So this guy transcends swimming. He transcends sports. And to be that good for that long in a field that does not reward age is really impressive. And trust me, it is a very hard life. You got to spend 6 hours in a tank every day, watch what you eat at an Olympic level, work out every day on top of all that. It is a hard – playing basketball is fun. Mm. Playing hockey is fun. Being in the tank 6 hours a day ain't fun for anybody. This is why I am very confident he's right. It's his last Olympics.
And you can't help but be inspired at the way that he fought his way back from the depression and the drinking issues and the problems that he really went through after London. And then he found his joy in competing and swimming again.
It's a pretty amazing story. And that part of it has not gotten a lot of press, frankly. Mm-hmm. Another book coming out from him probably will do that. Mm-hmm. Any great athlete, your careers almost never end happily. His did. And he knows when to walk off the stage. He fought back to get the stage. He knows when to walk off it. Those are two rare tricks.
Now, what have been some other Olympic highlights for you? You know, heroes or heroines or villains?
You've got all three in a sport called men's pole vaulting, which, by the way, is one of the great dramatic sports. It's all or nothing. You get to see the guy run down there. The pole is a few feet short of where the bar you have to clear is. Mm. It's pretty amazing. And the best part is the guy's expressions up 20 feet high where the pole is. Where the bar is.
Yeah.
They're either smiling the whole way down or they're upset the whole way down, but they already know it. Well, in this sport, you've got the returning champion, a French pole vaulter named Renaud Lavillenie, going against local star, Brazilian star, Thiago Silva. Now, Silva is, what, 21, 22 years old or so, you know, yeah. Just getting started.
Coming out of Brazil.
He's the upstart.
Yes.
Now, there was a ton of great camaraderie and sportsmanship among the three finalists, including an American, of course, who's going to get the bronze.
Yeah.
Who got the bronze. It all looked pretty good, but Renaud is used to tearing open his singlet, basically, have the crowd cheer and all this stuff. This was not his crowd. They're for the Brazilian. And it was good to a point. When he started doing his stuff, they did not respond well. He did not clear it, and Silva did. The Brazilian did. He seemed like a very fresh-faced, very pleasant, sweet kid. He got all the cheers. And afterwards, the French guy, Renaud, complains about the crowd. Guess what? You're in Brazil, man.
They're going to cheer for the Brazilian.
Exactly. And they were not antagonistic towards him until he started doing his little show. So,
and it's something a lot of us didn't see because it just didn't kind of, you know, it wasn't on NBC's radar. Or it was too late or something. I think
I saw it live. And this is one thing that NBC gets right sometimes and gets wrong sometimes. And that is that when you see things live, As a spectator, you are now part of that. You are now a participant. Mm-hmm. We can all remember where 9/11, hate to say it, but we all saw it live, basically. So that's all part of who we are now. On the positive side, sports gives you one of the very few chances to see a thing live that's positive that you all remember. Miracle on Ice, of course, Edwin Moses, Franz Klammer barreling down the mountain in 1976. If you see it live, you're
Nadia
part of
Nadia Comaneci getting those 10s.
Nadia Comaneci.
Yep. Yeah.
And the list is long.
Yes.
But you have to see it live for it to count. And seeing that live was great. NBC often will go for plausibly live or taped live. A lot of that's good stuff that you need for context. But if you want more live stuff, turn to CBC. You live in Michigan, you're lucky. Flip over to 999.
Okay. We do need to touch on the Ann Arbor angle in track and field, particularly the fact we had a retired Michigan men's track and field coach, Ron Warhurst, on Stateside last week talking about this little cluster of New Zealand runners he's attracted, all starting with Nick Willis, silver medalist in Beijing, thanks to Ron. And Nick actually settled in Ann Arbor, is living here, working with Ron, and making a career out of running.
He is. At age 33, that's not easy.
And he got into the semis. They had the first heat yesterday.
Very comfortably into the semis yesterday. The next qualifier is Thursday. The final, if he's in it, and I think he will be, is going to be Saturday. He is aiming to be the oldest guy ever to win a medal in that field. He also, by the way, frankly, is the best clean runner in that distance. There, I said it. But it is the Russians are not the only ones tampering with this stuff. And when you get in the line, sadly, Nick's a good friend of mine in the And just a full disclosure, Ronnie and I, his coach, we run whenever we're both in town. A lot slower than Nick does, by the way, but that's not important. We start at the same time. How's that?
Let's just leave it there.
Leave it there. I mean, Nick knows when he goes to the line that everyone else in front of him is juicing, basically. Mm-hmm. And that has got to play in your mind, and yet he is resistant to all temptation. If he somehow pulls it off at his age, he has run for the righteous.
We will have to also let listeners know, because we met first-time Olympian Hamish Carson. He and Kiwi runner Julian Matthews have been training since the spring in Ann Arbor with Ron. They did not make it to the semis. But, hey, you know what? There's Tokyo in 2020.
There is, and there's still national heroes in New Zealand.
I can't let you go, John, without noting the very, very sad loss of ESPN's John Saunders with his funeral this week. Someone with strong ties to Michigan and someone you knew well.
Yeah, I met John through hockey in 1998 at Joe Louis. We're in a charity game. He and I were doing his book together called Playing Hurt. We finished about a month and a half ago. And he's been in Ann Arbor in the fall to work with me as well as the spring. This is not a time for commerce. We're going to leave the whole thing up to the family. I've declined all other interviews with SI and Washington Post, but we do a regular thing. John,
what made him so one of a kind as a person and as a sports broadcaster? When you see big names in sports weeping as they announce John Saunders' death.
Which is very rare in our business. For one thing, he was demanding undeniably. He was a pro's pro, one of the best out there, period. Top four or five, and we'll tell you that. And yet everybody behind the camera and in front of the camera loved that guy. And that is basically unheard of in my business. Everyone's got enemies. John didn't.
No.
Without being a wimp, without being unprofessional, he was just a real pro's pro, a great husband, great father to two lovely girls in their 20s. It's just flat out sad.
Very, very sad, and certainly a great loss personally and professionally for you.
For me, it hits in waves, and it's hit me right now, in fact. But when I go over the manuscript one more time, I'm going to lose it.
Mm-mm. Michigan Radio sports commentator John Eubank. And as always, thanks, John.
Thank you, Cindy.